Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Augusta, in honor of the Masters, in honor of Augusta's number one fan, Gabe Neitzel, talking about your bucket list. Good morning, Jason Wilde. How you doing today?
I love Wisconsin. Like, I am Wisconsin through and through. I don't even mind the cold and the winter. I get it. The choice we make. But could spring suck anymore? Like, it snows.
Yep.
I remember as a kid going to County Stadium for opening day, and it would snow. Today, the tailgate tour leaves, so I'm like trying to figure out how heavy of a jacket I need to go do these outside interviews. I got a winter hat on. It's 27 degrees. What are we doing here?
Well, Chewy's not here. That's his solution to it, is to find a home in a warmer state. Not an option for all of us, obviously.
I need some of that CTE settlement money is what I need.
It'll all be over. I didn't take any. I refused it.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I know.
For spite.
I'm making a joke, but you shouldn't joke about that. Yeah. You can't return a jacket for spite, but you can turn down money for spite.
Jason, I'm going to awkwardly move on. What is your sport bucket list? We're talking about how, for many people, Augusta is a bucket list item. A lot of people want to go down there for the vibe, for the experience, might not even love golf, might just want to see Augusta. Do you have three things, if money were no option, if time were no option, you would do?
Yeah, I think I've checked them all off. So Augusta's not on my list. I would have liked to have gone to the Final Four in 2000 when that Badgers team went. But, like, I've been to the Rose Bowl. I've been to the Super Bowl. I've been to the World Series. Like, I think all mine are checked off. I've been to some incredible games. I mean, look, I think there are some people that do this for a living that take for granted how cool this job is. I have lots of faults, believe me, and Paula can come on later and detail them for you, but I don't take this for granted. So I know that I've gotten to check off pretty much everything on my bucket list. Josh told me that's what you guys were discussing, and quite frankly, I think my list is good. There is a sign, though, at Lambeau Field that I think is one of my favorite signs, and I think it's a really good way to remind their staff how important their place of employment is. I think they could be treated better by management, but that's another story for another day too. But it says, today is someone's bucket list. And I thought that was a really good way to remind their team how important it is to excel in their job, so Packers fans who care so deeply about that team can experience that bucket list moment for themselves.
Quick sidebar on the Rose Bowl, and I guess this is more of a question for Jen, because she's been there more than anybody else. Did the Rose Bowl get a little... I feel like it lost its luster a little bit, especially years where it wasn't a semifinal. Then it's just like any other bowl game. Yes, it's the Rose Bowl and it's cool, but did it pick up some of the cachet that it once had this year being a playoff game again?
Yeah, I think for most people, the Rose Bowl is, again, an experience.
Okay.
It's that whole idea of the sun setting over the mountains as you're in the third quarter, fourth quarter of the game type of thing. It's a vibe.
But because the reason why I ask that, because it used to be the bucket list for Wisconsin, right? Like, you went to the Rose Bowl because you won the Big Ten, but the last time they went to the Rose Bowl, it's because they finished second in the Big
so,
Ten.
So in that frame, yes, it has regained some of its cachet because it is now a playoff game. Whereas in that little, it was like a weird, like, 2-year thing of like,
well, because it
not
would rotate.
Being the Big Ten, Pac 12,
yeah,
championship, RIP Pac 12.
Pour one out.
And now again, I think that they have some agreement though that they have to be one of the playoffs.
Oh, they're
games,
well, because like, they're never. The one thing with the Rose Bowl is that they're always at 4 p.m. Central. They're always on New Year's Day. They're not moving off of that, so everybody just has to plan around them. So on years where it was, oh, the semifinals are New Year's Eve, then they would, yeah, it'd be the second-place team for the Pac-12, second-place team from the Big Ten. That was always weird to me.
Jason, is this the highest number of top draft picks to visit Green Bay in Goody's tenure?
That's a good question. I don't have all the data on that.
Kind of feels like it, though, doesn't it?
It definitely feels that way. You know, he does bring in more of those top first-round type guys than Ted used to. Ted used to use a lot of those visits on potential undrafted free agents that he wanted to sign after they didn't get drafted. But, yeah, I mean, look, the wide receiver visits, I don't know how you look at that and not at least think, okay, these guys are more serious about actually using a first-round pick on a wide receiver than they ever have been before, right? I just, whether or not they actually do, who the heck knows? But when you look at that lineage of wide receivers lately out of Ohio State, and to have Becca in yesterday, I just think that's a huge deal. Like I don't like to be accused of overblowing something, but I thought that was significant. That jumped out at me as soon as Schefter tweeted it.
Well, they've had three wide receivers in, Jason, Golden Abuka and Isaiah Bond. Bond not anticipated to be a first round pick, but he could be somebody they pick later. So with having all these wide receivers in, and we know that Goody uses these on players he would like to draft, just look at some of the guys like Edgerrin Cooper, for example, Tyron Hopper from a year ago. So does this mean that despite what LaFleur and what Brian Gutekunst said at the owners' meetings, they're not actually happy with what they have in that room?
Yeah, I think, Gabe, look, first of all, I don't even know if they would be happy even if they got their first round pick and it was a wide receiver. Like, I think that was kind of one of those things. It's kind of like the defensive line.
You got to CYA.
Well, we didn't really add anybody. So we got to say that we're happy with what we got, right? And look, I don't think they're going to reach. Like, if Ibuka is gone before they pick, you know, and so is McMillan from Arizona, and whoever the other guy
Matthew
is.
Matthew Golden.
I think they were having him, if they didn't have him in on a visit already, I think they were having him in too. I think Bill Huber had that on Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, so Golden was already here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, so to me anyway, you know, that proves that they're serious about it. But again, you don't know how the board's going to go. Here's the question that I have. Is he so cognizant of they don't have enough at wide receiver right now because of Watson's injury, and maybe even if not for Watson's injury, is he willing to go up if that's what's required to get one of those guys? Because if he's willing to do that, talk about a way to snap the 20-plus year streak of not drafting a wide receiver. I mean, no offense to Javon Walker, but if the Packers trade up, this would be an even bigger story than just ending that stretch.
Yeah, because, I mean, you take a look at it, not just that position, but they're bringing an offensive lineman, Jason. Like, it seems they could go a number of different directions. And because of that, I guess I'm skeptical of them actually trading up. Because when Goody, the one thing I will always believe Goody when he says it at any podium is he wants more draft picks. Like, he wants to find a way to have more draft picks. Like, that is the one thing I'll always believe. And that's why, because it's not like they have a surplus of picks right now, and they have more needs than you would probably hope that they have. So that's why I have a hard time believing they would use some of those picks to actually move up and go and get, whether it's a wide receiver or an edge rusher, an offensive line, anybody. I picture them more trading back than trading up.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Gabe. And look, it's crazy. I went back last night just because I was curious, because we always talk about Javon Walker, but like Goody actually talked about this in Indianapolis, how he didn't, he's been with the franchise 27 years and that he doesn't believe there's ever been a quote unquote policy. Oh, you have a policy. The delicate genius has a policy against picking wide receivers. But if you look historically, I mean, it's Barry Smith in 1973. It's James Lofton in 78. It's Sterling Sharp in 88. And then it's Javon Walker. Like, that's the list in the Super Bowl era. Is that not crazy?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, two out of four being Hall of Famers is a pretty good batting average, though.
Jason. Yes. I mean, if you only bat four times, yes.
Jason, how do you think Dobbs would react to this after the little tantrum he threw back during the season?
Yeah, great, great question, and probably poorly. I like to think, and you guys have heard me say a million times, you know, we don't know these guys as well as we think we do. I mean, I knew you, but that was a whole other story. But I would say that, or Brett, from meeting him at O'Danny's when he was drunk tending bar in like 1994. But
you were there.
I was. That was the first time I ever met him. And I wasn't covering the team yet. It was amazing. But in Romeo's case, I really don't know him. I feel like we've had a few good conversations over the years, but like I would have never expected him to react the way he did and just not show up for work. So now for me, all bets are kind of off with him. I would say this, and I was talking about this with somebody that works in the building. Like, I don't know if the Packers would consider extending him or re-signing him, because if I was them, I would always have in the back of my mind that incident and wonder, how's this guy going to handle adversity or being unhappy? So, but I would, if Romeo came to me, and I'm not even sure he knows my name, but he said, Jason, look, what do you think I should do this year? I would say, put your head down, work your ass off, and go out there and put up some big numbers so you can get paid by someone else if these guys aren't going to re-sign you. Like, it is a contract year. There is a huge opportunity for him. So whether they draft a wide receiver or not, whether he's happy with his targets or not, keep your mouth shut, get out there and be as productive as possible, do everything right, because someone will pay you. Because I believe he's a good player. But between the concussion question now and between that and his behavior early in the season last year, he's got something to prove, and I'm eager to see if he does it.
Jason, how much do you think the Packers engage in subterfuge?
Sound it out.
Yeah, exactly. Layla, how do you say this word? Everybody talks about how this time of year people are sort of smoke and mirroring their way through these things. Is that something that in the past you think the Packers have engaged in, or are they more straightforward with their plan headed into the draft?
So, yeah, that's a, I mean, obviously I don't know for sure, but that's a really good question. I don't think they do. Like, if you look at their visit list that they have, they don't waste visits on guys that are not someone they're interested in. Like, I don't think that's in Goody's playbook. Now, I will say that the subterfuge maybe comes from the stuff he says, right? Like, he and Russ Ball and John Eric Sullivan, et cetera, were clearly having conversations with people and agents around the league. Because remember, Rob Domofsky did that or talked about, I don't know if he wrote it, but that they were expecting the Packers to be very busy in free agency. And didn't he say it was going to be defensive line, wide receiver, all positions that they didn't actually pursue, maybe corner, which they did obviously with Hobbs. But like, I think maybe they engage in subterfuge with what they say, but I don't think their actions are that type of deal. I really don't.
Jason, good stuff from you today. We really appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again very soon.
In the shadow of Lambeau Field. Any questions you have for Dr. John Michaels, Marco Rivera, Who else do we
tailgate
have today?
Tour.
Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft.
Wait, did you say Dr. John Michaels?
Yeah, he's a doctor.
Yeah,
he became a doctor?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Maybe he can help me with my snoring, him and Dr. Kandula. he's a doctor.
Yeah.
Man, he needs to get Sam Congato's PR agent, because we all know about Sam Con, had no idea about John Michaels.
Yeah, I would just say that Chewy has been my go-to for all medical advice of late, and I'm going to keep it that way.
Thank you, buddy.
That's a good. That's honestly, that's a good policy.
Thank you.
I have a policy.
All right, guys, take care.
It's a lot of Ed talk this morning for him not having taken over the position yet. Jason Wilde can be heard right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Okay, keep getting us your three-sport bucket list in honor of the Masters, in honor of Augusta, which a lot of people have on their sports bucket list. Remember, money is no option, time off is no option. Someone else is paying for this, and you have all the time off to do what you want to do. What are your three sports bucket list items, places you want to go before you die? Let us know here, 800-990-3776 on the Carbless Talk and Text line.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune into Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now, bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.